Shalom, everybody, and today we are learning Parashat Metzora, the leopard, the one who has leprosy, and that's the name of the parasha, Metzora, and it can be found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 14, verse 1. And again, this is basically same topic as last week portion, Tazria, but with some edges. Why? Because it happens many times that the study, the lessons of the previous week continue to another week, sometimes 3, 4 weeks. We have this, that kind of era in the year that we supposed to learn a special lesson, and 1 week is not enough. If we go to chapter 14, verse 1 in Leviticus, the book of Vayikra, and here it speaks about the cleansing of the lepers. And who is doing that? It says, verse 2, chapter 14, verse 2, Vezot tiye Torat ha-metzora. This is the law of the leper. Beyom taharto, in the day of his cleansing, vehuva el hakohen, and he should be brought to the kohen. Okay, veyatsa hakohen el michutz lemachane. Now the leprosy, people with leprosy were quarantined outside the camp, and the kohen should go outside the camp, and he would look at the leprosy, and to see if the leprosy is being healed. Okay, what do we have over here? So we have to remember what we explained about leprosy. The leprosy the Torah is talking about is not what we know today as the medical pathology of leprosy. Nothing of such. Whoever decided to translate the Metzora over here into leprosy, okay, that's not what it is, because if somebody has a skin disease, and a terrible skin disease, you take him to a physician, not to the priest. Here we're talking about something of totally different nature. We're talking about something that comes before there is a skin disease. And let me explain. We spoke about it last week, and we'll explain it again. Leprosy is a mental disease. Only the Kohen had the authority and the ability to really diagnose the disease and to initiate the procedure of healing. Why? Because the Kohen, the priest, had the ability to see something that not everybody could see. And that's why, even if a person is very learned, he has no authority to decide if it is leprosy or not. And even the Torah is saying sometimes it looks like a skin disease. That doesn't mean it is leprosy. Okay? So let us explain what the story is about. And we said, and we got, you know what? Let's read from the Zohar. And the Zohar of this parasha, verse 14 in the Zohar, Perusha Sulam for Parashat Metzora. Tachaze, kol chovei alma kudsha b'richu mechaper alayu. B'tshuva. בר מהו לישא נבישא, דאפק שום ביש על חברי. והו כמו, דכתיב זאת תהיה תורת המצורה. זאת היא תורתו של מוציא שם רע. רבי חייא אמר, כל מן דאפיק לישא נבישא, הסתאבן לי כל שייפוי, והתחזי לסגרה. בגין דאי מילה בישא סלקה והתארוכה, מסעבה אלוי והסתאב, עתי להסתאבה מסעבין לי, ומילה דלתתה התאר מילה אחרה. Okay, let us explain what are the holy words of the Zohar trying to teach us. And the Zohar says, come and see. All the sins in the world, God can atone them by atonement. When a person is doing teshuvah and is reconnecting to God, atonement, atonement, he is reconnected to the light of God through the process, the meditative, spiritual, emotional process of returning to the frequency of what we call teshuvah. Teshuvah means to return. However, all of this can be atoned by atonement, repentance, or returning back to connect to the tree of life. But Lashon Hara, but bad-mouthing. Somebody who bad-mouths his friend, we already explained. So whoever, Rabbi Chiya said, what does it mean, Metzora? The word Metzora, which is the name of the parasha, the name of the disease, means bad-mouthing or using words to give a bad name to somebody else. And Rabbi Chiya adds, call me whoever is giving a bad name to somebody else, that person who does it, all his organs become impure. And he should be locked behind. And by the way, the word in Aramaic of the word metzora is sagir, which means in Hebrew, locked in or closed out. Because the moment people speak bad about other people, they create, like they create a lockdown of negative force to their body and all their organs. It's not just the skin. It's the whole body is being affected. Why? Because that evil speech is going up and awakens the impure spirit, the dark spirits. And then he becomes impure. And what it says, whoever wants to become impure, he will get impure. Whatever is happening from below will happen from above. Which means, you know, what they say, I repeat it many times, when you hate somebody else, it's like you're drinking a cup of poison and expecting somebody else to die. Not just that hatred is a horrible disease for the, of course, the person who hates, because that person that he hates, he is basically acknowledging that his, the subject of his hating, that person he hates, that person is responsible for his troubles. Okay, the moment you hate somebody else, you are transgressing the second order on the first and the second orders on the two tablets. A, I'm the Lord your God, I got you out of Egypt from the house of slavery, which means you are not a slave anymore. Hateful people are slaves. Why? If you hate, it means that you are subjugated to the idea that somebody is to blame by anything. At that moment, it's not that you cannot be at the same time a slave and worship God. You can't. You have to choose. Who is your master? The person that you hate or God? What does it mean? I hate that guy. He's not my master. Of course he's your master. He occupies your mind. He occupies your heart. He occupies every organ of your body, because the moment you are busy, obsessed with hatred, every part of your body is impure. And the worst thing, if you speak it out, the moment you speak it out and you are obsessively talk evil about another person, you are being totally locked in the negativity that you generated, that you invited from the metaphysical universe. This is very, very dangerous, very important to realize. You're not supposed to hate, because this is, as it says again, the person who speaks evil on others and gives them bad name, he is God, the one who becomes impure. And where it says, Zot tiye Torat ha-metzora, we read it, Zot, the word Zot, this is, but it's in female, it's written in a female structure. In Hebrew, there's a difference between female and male when you say this. Okay, and that word is referred to Sfirat Malchut, the Shekhinah, that the moment a person is bad-mouthing somebody else, the whole Shekhinah will turn against that person who speaks evil about somebody else. Why is it like this? So, and I explained it last week so we can understand it better. The idea is that when we blame somebody else, and that moment we are getting God outside the picture, which means when you really study monotheism and you really understand there's only one God and there's nothing but God and nothing can happen without God's consent or somehow being part of it, even though sometimes it's very painful, unjust, and it looks unfair. God is still there, even though we do not feel his presence. Why don't we feel his presence? And here comes the major idea. The moment we do not feel his presence is because we don't invite his presence to our lives. How do we invite God's presence to our life? You have to speak like this. You have to speak with certainty, with love, with understanding that basically you are in the presence of God. And if you speak like this, and when you speak like this, then you allow God's light to be manifested in your life, and you can make what is called your tikkun, which means you finally reach the purpose of your creation, which is to participate with God in completing his creation. He created his creation incomplete so we can be God's partners in completing the creation. How do we complete the creation? Through actions and through words, which means, and words are the most important, which means you can do nice actions, but if you say the wrong words, that action is meaningless because it's hurtful, whatever. So the actions are important, but what really gets them in place is the words, is the speech, is the way we talk. When we talk with total awareness, awe, awareness of awe, of the presence of God, and then everything we do, we do it in order to help and be partner with God, with the Creator's project of the creation, because we were created in his image and we cannot receive easy and free gifts. Therefore, the world was created imperfect purposely so we can take what is broken and fix it. But the moment we see something that is broken and we start to get annoyed, upset, hysterical, and we say, God, you see, it's horrible. You see, the world is not right. It's not fair. Yeah, the world is not fair. Yeah, the world is not complete. Why? To give each one of us the opportunity to add another effort, another action to fix, to get the world closer to its completion. This is my job. So when I see incompletion, when I see things that are not just and not fair, and I'm starting to yell and scream and say, this is a terrible place, the world is terrible, what are you doing? You are basically bad-mouthing. You think you bad-mouth the person you think is responsible, but you're basically bad-mouthing the Shekhinah and the Creator. And there, that is why you become impure. Okay? Because the words of a person invite, says the Zohar, the presence. When we speak words of gratitude, hope, love, excitement for whatever happens, we invite with these words holiness, energy, power, good fortune, power and positivity and protection to our lives. However, when we speak words of hatred and bad mouthing and annoyance, and we invite the spirit of impurity to our lives. So who did it to us? Who brought the misfortune, injustice, and so on to our lives? We did. So instead of fixing it, saying, oh, now I see whatever they say. If it's not broken, you don't fix it. But you see it's broken. If it's broken and you're not realizing, here it is broken, there is a problem. My job is to do my best to fix it. My job is not to complain. I'm saying it again and again and again. Complainers are never winners. Complainers are never lucky. Complainers are basically lepers. Metzoraim. They have leprosy. Complainers, the moment you complain about everything or anything, you are becoming lepers because you are basically defaming the Shekhinah and the Creator. They created that exactly for us to complete the creation. So we can feel ownership over the pleasure, over the light, over all the greatness and goodness that God instilled in this universe. So when we get annoyed and we blame and we hate and so on, we are simply, that's the worst thing a person can do. And this is denying the consciousness of tikkun, the consciousness of correction, the consciousness which says what? I have responsibility, and whatever happens to me, this is my responsibility to overcome the annoyance, the discomfort, the upset, all of those emotions that make us lepers, make us metzoraim, because those emotions basically do sagil, they block, they close, they lock down the energy and the light of our souls. Therefore, we have to be really, really worried about that stuff, which means we have to be aware of what we say, because words have power. The universe was created by words. And whenever we speak, we have to understand that our speech, our words, have the ability to create. As it's been known, the word abracadabra is Hebrew. Avracadabra means in Hebrew, avra, I create, kadabra, as I speak. So if you want your life to be better, you have to speak positive, to speak with hope, to think with hope, to speak with hope, and to trust it that these words are part of the tikkun process. And this is not easy. We live in a society that is so well trained to complain, because complainers are losers, complainers are weak, complainers make themselves impure, which means weak and falling apart and almost dead. And because of that, complainers cannot really change the world. Who does change the world? Those people who believe, and everybody laughs at them. It's like, no, you're just hallucinating. You're delusional. And those people who really dare to dream, and they had dream, and they share their dreams. They share their dreams through books, through everything. Now, today, you have so many ways to share ideas. When you share ideas of hopefulness, of creativity and positivity, you focus on that, you generate purity, you generate tikkun, you generate positivity for yourself and everybody around you. However, if you are a complainer, so in the camp of Israel, the Kohanim, the priests, they had the ability to diagnose the energy field of the person and to see there is a leprosy. And at that moment, the person had to be taken out of the camp so it doesn't infect other people. You know how it is. When somebody has a complaint or bad mouthing others, people that can catch like fire in a dry field of weeds in an instant. Why? Because the evil inclination has a very powerful PR, the best PR in history. Okay? On the other side, you need to stop that or correct it by creating with very strong faith and positivity and certainty. Because when people speak positive, hopeful words with certainty and positivity, they create a creation of their own. This is the story. So, who would purify the Kohen? So, the Kohen, that's verse 4. When the Kohen sees that the person is healed already, and then verse 4 said, and Vetziva Kohen, and the Kohen will order, Velakach we should take two living pure birds. Ve'etz erez and a cedar tree, ushni tolat, and a certain red of dyed, okay, this is called shani, ve'ezov and hyssop. And why that? And Rashi is bringing some sources from some from the Talmud. It says, why cedar tree? Cedar tree is a symbol of a grandeur, like power, like standing tall, firm, and beautiful. So, and Rashi says, because the leprosy is coming as a result of being rude, egotistic. So when a person is rude and egotistic, like a cedar tree, standing rude and proud, look at me, how powerful, how beautiful, how tall I am. So first of all, when you're rude, why are you rude? Because you don't give respect to anything. You have no awe. You don't have any sense of the presence of God in your space. And that's why when you have rudeness, God says, somebody who's rude, I cannot live with him in the same space, which means he drives away whatever is connected to good fortune. So the people who are complainers, they are the source of all the mischief and the injustice they see around themselves because they create it with no humility. So you take the cedar tree in order to atone for the rudeness. Ushni tolat ve'ezov. Both of them, shni tolat, it's a color red that is made from a certain worm. And worm is the opposite of the cedar tree. It's a symbol of humility. You know, worm, what is a worm has to be proud of? Proud about. And hyssop. Hyssop is also a symbol of humility because hyssop is a very low kind of a shrub or a bush, but it's not even a bush. It's much more smaller than that. And that's hyssop is a symbol for purity that is coming out of humility. So the person who has the leprosy will take two living birds. Why two living birds? Because Rashi says, again, he brings it from ancient sources, because all the leprosy is coming because of bed mouthing, which is chattering, speech. Who is speaking like this? Like birds. They're always chirping. They're always having that kind of speech. So the birds, together with the cedar tree, the red that is being taken from the worm and hyssop. And what do you do? Then he takes that, and the person has to put himself down with humility from his pride, like the worm, like the hyssop. Okay, so what? So he's saying cedar tree is a stick made from a cedar tree. Worm is not the worm itself. It's a piece of a wool, a woolen fabric that is colored with the red, that is produced from the worm. And there's a procedure that the Kohen is using that to purify the person. So we learn from the process about the disease itself. But why does the Kohen have to do that? And we learn in many places the Kohen can diagnose the problem because the Kohanim had the ability those days to see the change of the frequency of the energies of the person. And you know what? Sometimes you don't have to be a Kohen. What just you approach a person and from looking at his face or her face, you know, there's a complainer over here. It's like they look at stuff in a certain way, you know, they're already looking for what to complain about, what to find wrong. And that is the worst kind of leprosy. And what does it do? It changes the frequency of the whole energy field of the person, and the Kohen had the ability to see that. Today, very few people can do that, to see change in the aura of the person. However, you have machines. And what, you know, you want to see if the person is sick, you do MRI, CT, all of that, they check the energy fields around the organs of the body. And MRI, for instance, is showing that the field is becoming weaker and weaker. And that means that the probability for the body to engage with any kind of disease is going higher and higher, and depends on which organs it hits it worse. That's where the disease will come first. So this is an amazing idea. And the Kohen, that's why the Kohen could basically diagnose the problem, because the Kohanim were on a higher level. That's why they were chosen to be Kohanim, because they had abilities that other people basically didn't want, because they want to be busy with creating a life. Okay, so we got that. And the whole process of purification of that person, but we can understand from that people around us and in our world, especially now, you have so many people that use the media. Once upon a time, you needed to be a really important person to speak on TV, but that was the only media or radio. There was radio in the beginning, there was only radio, then only later on came TV. And when people were taking over the media with spewing hatred and blame and stuff like this, people buy that stuff we know much easier. Why? It sells. It doesn't need from people any responsibility. However, if the person is a person that is committed to get out of his leprosy, which is not to hear bad mouthing. No, you feel you cringe when you hear people spewing a hate about somebody else, about the collective, it doesn't matter. The moment people are busy daily, and today you have people doing that day and night, because there's so many media possibilities. And the moment people are doing that, what do? They bring themselves directly to the place under the dark side. They become his messengers. They become the messengers of the dark side. They become the messengers of chaos. And first of all, who is going to get hurt by that? They are going to, the person himself who invited, instead of being thankful for what you've got and wish that you have some more and take responsibility and do the best you can to get some more. You are in one club. But the moment you agree, yeah, your problems are because of another person, because of another group of people, because of another nation. The moment you agree to that idea, you're not in the game. You're not part of the Torah. You're not part of those holy sentences. You cannot participate because you're here to destroy. You know what? Everybody knows destroying is much easier than building. So the Kohen, who was in the level of Chesed, and we understand why Chesed is so important, because Chesed, loving kindness, heals like no other power. Just unconditional Chesed without negativity, that is the greatest healer. And that is the power that the Kohen possesses, the power of endless chesed, endless loving kindness. Okay, now I think that that explains a lot why, when you look around in our culture and you find that in our civilization, which is divided into many, many divisions, which means you have certain geographical areas in which people are more sophisticated and more advanced. And there are areas that people are less advanced, because if you just look at what is the main thing, leprosy, bad mouthing other people, which means your life is not as you want it to be. Do as much as you can. And what is the message? The message is you do your best and God will do the rest. And that's how miracles happening all the time to people that are in terrible, terrible, dangerous threat. And they come out of it because of thankfulness. And we've seen that a lot lately. So when a person has thankfulness, which means he adores the creation, he adores every part of the creation, and he will do everything in his power when he sees some blemish to fix it. This is a person that is on the tikkun journey. But people, groups of people, societies, they have the tendency to fall into that, what is called idol worshiping. What does it mean, idol worshiping? So we learn from the commentaries that anger and hatred is idol worship. Why? Because the moment you allow that to overcome you, you become their messenger. You become part of them. You become part of them. And this is tremendously dangerous. So there's so many people who want to save the politics of their country or the city or something like this. And they do that by skewing hate against another goal. Why? Because whoever knows a drama and of advertisement and creating people's opinions, public opinions, you know that the easiest way to get people united is to get them united by hating the same person. So, or the same group of people. Hatred can unite. Hatred can justify. And especially that we are now in an era of which hatred becomes a national language, which means you don't speak about blame. You don't open your mouth and you're starting to blame those horrible people of the other side politically. In that moment, you're already serving the dark side. Because how do you remove darkness? You bring in light. You don't play with the darkness. So if you try to create jewels and you try to fight verbally against people who really hate anything that is of godly nature. And a lot of them right now, they prefer to hate. Why? Hatred is cheap in the beginning. It's very expensive at the end. You don't, it's very easy to listen to people who try to make you hate someone and to fall into it. Very easy. Doesn't cost you too much effort. And that's what people buy because it's cheap. But you know what it is. You buy today, you pay later. Later on, those emotions start to kill you from inside. It destroys your ability to have a decision. The decision-making process is being hurt. There's so many other direct, and especially when a person is in that place, the organs of his body are starting to come down in the energy. And then when the light comes out, darkness comes in. And that's a lot of diseases have that. You can find it. You can really see the change of the energy field in the body before the disease becomes pathological. So this is a very important concept. Our world right now is being divided between people who find their business in trying to find what's wrong and join a cult-like movements of people that hate, terribly hate whoever they depict as the enemy of whatever is good. And this is a real kind of, they think they do something of justice, but when you hate, you are with the villains. You are with them. You belong to their power force. Okay? You belong to their army, unfortunately. And although you think you're fighting a holy war for good, great, higher purpose, if that is involved with hatred and the fuel for your revolution is hatred, there's something wrong about it from the beginning. And the result will be, like as we said, the energy fields are being closed down, shut down, and then diseases will come up. So you have to come out of these places and come out of those sections of people that are so, they're trying to unite around an idea of hating somebody else. I'm not saying you should ignore bad people. For that, that's why you have in the seven Noahide laws, you have one of the laws is to erect a court system that will take care of justice to erect a police system that will make sure the judgments are going to be delivered and the villains are going to be caught up, okay, and brought to justice. When you have that, you make the first place, the first steps in basically what is called teshuva, returning to God's light. However, if you're trying to do it differently, instead of appointing a system with judges and policemen, you're trying to be the law yourself by trying to destroy. And when you do that, you destroy yourself, as we already explained. So this is the most important part in this parasha. This parasha also has the part that we spoke about in previous years about building a house. And because there were leprosy in houses, how could there be leprosy in houses? Yes, some houses that people move in to live in and they feel terrible and people run away from those homes. And some homes are very pleasant to live in. So what is the difference? And the Zohar is explaining, when you build a place to live in, you have to put a cornerstone and to say with your mouth, this house is going to be built to serve the creator of the universe. So in this house will be only a place for happiness, love, faith, and stuff like this. I'm just giving it's not the exact words, but if you understand the idea, that is the cornerstone ceremony to be done when you start building a house. And the Zohar says, it doesn't matter. It could be a small house, a big house. It doesn't matter. You need a cornerstone. That's where the tradition of the cornerstone is coming from. When you do that, you remember the power from the mouth. You invite in from above the power of holiness, the holy Shekhinah, the divine presence, to dwell inside this house. Of course, it will feel different, and whatever happens in the house and the people living in the house will be affected by that. But if you build the house in a different way, the Canaanites, for instance, they were very much involved with witchcraft. They were totally addicted. They were totally under that. And that means that their souls were basically burnt out. And what they did, because of the fear and the hatred, and because they did not count on themselves, they, when they put the cornerstone, they invited in the forces of the dark side with names, angel, whatever. They had knowledge. Their witchcraft was really dangerous to each other and to us. Thank God it's gone. They're not Canaanites anymore. The Torah said to eliminate them and they were gone. The point is that even today, when we do anything, when we build in it, even when we cook and we badmouth and we speak evil about, doesn't matter who about, right or wrong, it doesn't matter. That is badmouthing the creator and his creation by saying there's no justice, it's all, and so on and so forth. When a person is building a house this way, with that consciousness, so that house cannot be a vessel for revealing spirituality. So when the Israelites came to the Holy Land and basically conquered the Holy Land, and they got a lot of houses that belonged to the Canaanites before they built it. However, what did they put in the cornerstone? I built this house to be the dwelling place of, and they will mention all of those dark angels to invite them in. Now they were dwelling in that house and you bought the house. How are you going to drive them away? So the Zohar says something very important. Okay, this is with I lost the place. I remember I put a mark. Okay, you can find the verses in the Parashat Tazria, although the story is here in Parashat Metzorah. Verse 145. Come and see. Praiseworthy are the Israelites that are attached to the Holy Blessed Be. And he loves them. As it says, Ahavti etchem amar Hashem. I love you, said God. This is from Malachi chapter 1. The book of Malachi chapter 1. ומתוך אהבתו, and because of his love to the nation of Israel, God brought them to the Holy Land, so he can dwell his Shekhinah, his holy presence among them, and to dwell with them. ושימצאו ישראל קדושים מכל בני העולם, and that the nation of Israel will become holy than all other people around the world. How that is that connected? Verse 146. וכל הנשים אשר נשא ליבן, ועדיין בשעה שהיא עושות מלאכתן, היו אומרות, זה למקדש, זה למשכן, זה לפרוכת. All of the ladies who were helping building the tabernacle, when they were doing their job, they would say, this is for the temple, this is to the tabernacle, this is for the parochet, the embroidery. And that's how all the artisans behaved. So that the holiness will dwell over their heads. You have to speak it out. ותתקדש המלאכה, and that work will be sanctified. So when they brought the fruits of their actions, of their work to build the temple, the tabernacle, everything became holy and united because that was the right frequency. On the same way, that's verse 147. Mi she'oved avodah l'avodah zarah, whoever is an idol worshiper, or to the dark side that is not holy, kivan she'mazkira l'avodah hi neruah chatumah shehu alav, when he mentions the name of his idol worshiping, the name of his idol, then the impure spirit dwells over that work. So the Canaanites, when they were building their homes, they will do that. So why is it important? Kevan shebaw Yisrael haaretz, when the Israelites came to the Holy Land, ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu leter lemanam ulkadesh lemanam et haaretz. God wanted to cleanse the land for them and to remove, to make place for the Shekhinah to dwell over there. So how was that happening? Because when the leprosy appeared, which was its chaos, it was just the power of God fighting the dark force dwelling in the house. Same thing in the human body. So the idea of why would there, as the Zohar is asking in the beginning, when the Torah says, okay, this is chapter 14, verse 34. Ki tavo al eretz Kanaan, when you come to the land of Canaan, asher ani noten lachem la'achuzah, that I'm giving you as an asset, as a settlement. Again, this is verse 34, chapter 14 in Leviticus, in the Torah itself. Uva asher... Okay, so when you come and you get that place, ונתתי נגע צרב בבית ארץ אחוזתכם, and I will give leprosy in the houses that you're going to live in. And the Zohar is saying, what kind of a promise is that? Hey guys, you come here. I'm giving you your new land, the promised land. And amazing, you'll be crazy about it. The houses that I'm going to give you, they'll have leprosy. Amazing, huh? Something to rejoice about. What is that? The Zohar is asking. This is a promise. What are you promising over here? And the answer is because what the Zohar is saying, because God will bring the positivity in, that will create a healing crisis. Example, somebody is smoking a lot of cigarettes daily. Finally, he repents and realizing that he's hurting himself and everybody around him. So he stopped smoking. The next day, he became healthy. No. After he stopped smoking, there's a healing crisis that the body throws out all the dirt. And that can take days and weeks. Same thing over here. When God injects his light to the house, people come to the house and they put a mezuzah, they make a kiddush for Shabbat, study Torah, they will invite positive light into the house. And also, when you come to a new house, there's a dedication of the house, which really means the education of the house, that you bring positive light into the house through studying. This is the house in the case that you were not there in the cornerstone ceremony, you bought the house later. So now what do you do? It's too late? No, it's not too late. You bring in people to study, to celebrate, and so on, and to bring in positive light. There's a whole recipe how to do that. And what happens when you invite the holiness into the house, the new house you moved into? Then that positivity fights with the negativity, and what is the result? Leprosy on the walls of the house. And then it goes on. Uva asher lo habayit, and the owner of the house would come and tell the Kohen, Le'emor, Kenega nira li habayit. It looks like there is a blemish, leprosy on the wall. He cannot say, I'll diagnose it. Why? You have to bring it to the Kohen. And the Kohen is a person of loving kindness. And only the loving kindness can really heal that negativity. Now, the Kohen will do his best, but if the negativity came back and the leprosy stayed in the walls, you had to destroy the whole house to uproot or to dig the soil it's standing on, get it to a remote place outside the city, and build a new house. Why? Everything is impure. So, what is the story of the leprosy? When God injects positivity to our world, to our lives, like the life force that is awakening when somebody stops smoking. And what's the result? It looks worse in the beginning. Why? Because the negativity is starting to come out. And hopefully today, what we see around the world, that people are becoming more and more hateful, resentful, negative, proud, and selfish. And you see all what's going around. It's a holiness that is coming in. And the world is going through a healing crisis in which all of these are being exaggerated. So people have to make a choice. I'm with the light. I'm with people that have faith, have awareness, have awe, appreciate, and are thankful for God's presence in their lives. Either you associate with this kind of people, or you're associated with people who hate God. Why? Because that forces them to take responsibility for everything that happens to them. That means that they have every negative thoughts. They have to turn into positivity, and of course, not to speak it out. And if you hate somebody, you have to ask yourself, what kind of message does it bring me, and what is my opportunity over here to basically ascend above the terrible emotions and not to give them place and space and kill them with kindness and love and awareness and appreciation. When we do that, we join the winning part of the story. And now the whole of humanity is engaged with that story. You want to be a winner, siding with the light, taking responsibility for your thoughts, taking responsibility for your words, making really sure that words have power, and therefore you will never speak bad about anyone because you don't need it. Because you know that speaking good about everything and appreciation will finally bring the positivity to your life, and you don't want to lose that. Or you continue to badmouth, hate, blame, and rot because you can't just be in between and decide nothing. You have to make a choice. So what we see around the world is a powerful healing crisis. All of that stuff that comes to the surface is just to tell between the men and the boys, between those people really take responsibility as adults to create positivity wherever they are, and those who choose to find all the time who to blame, finding the scapegoat and hate them and enjoy hating without doing anything productive. So this is the warning of the Zohar. You have to follow these rules. Thank you so much and good luck to all of us, because it's not an easy, not especially in our days.